God, you meet me Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Rise Up. It is March 14th, year of our Lord, 2024. And we're starting out talking about I've never known a love like his. I mean, pretty true statement, right? I'm sure that no matter which friend you've ever had, which spouse you've decided to share your life with, which person you wanted to become your spouse, you've never known a love like his. And, you know, I've been in actual relationships here on earth, physical relationships, emotional relationships, that were so great that when they ended, I wished that I had done things differently. I wished that there was things about that relationship, whether it was a platonic relationship or a romantic relationship, there are things that I wish that I would have done differently. I know that people who have lost their spouses, they say, I wish I would have done differently. So you get, there's earthly relationships that you wish that you could either mend or go back, do things differently, regret certain things. And in a lot of cases, those relationships are so broken that you can never go back. You can never get them back. And a lot of people have broken, have in the last year, maybe 10 years, maybe 20 years, maybe in the last week, feel like they have had a breakup with God. And you feel like he's mad at you, or you feel like you've done him wrong, or you feel like you maybe, wow, I have not given him anything in months. I've been so preoccupied with X, Y, and Z, and I feel like there's a weak link in the chain. There's a weak link in the armor. So what we're going to do today is talk about mending relationships. Mending your relationship with your Father God in heaven, and mending any possible relationships that might be broken here on earth. And I laid out 7 steps, backed up by scripture, in the morning newsletter today. So please check out your morning newsletters, open them wide up, get them open so when we go through them, you can actually have something right in front of you. Jay Gizmi says, if you ask for strength, you will get opportunities to be strong. Well, that's right. But so many of us in this chat right now either have a broken relationship with God or Jesus or the Holy Spirit, or we have a broken relationship with somebody here on earth. And today we're going to focus on those. Laterer says, Jeremy, this is so needed. Yeah, I think it is. I think you're right. And when you see the verses of the day today, which Laterer just put in the live chat, all of these scripture verses have back up what we're going to talk about with these seven steps today. CQ says, so now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. John 13:34. Bruce Carroll says, I'm working on it. Thank you. Katie says, we all have people we can improve relationships with. Well, what we're going to talk about today is not, I mean, I guess you can say the word improve, but we really want to focus on the word mend. Because everything can be improved, but not everything needs mended. So let's focus today on mending relationships so that we can then focus on improving those mended relationships. Okay? 15 minutes into this Godcast today, and we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. We're going to ask Him to dwell with us, be with us today, because this is a message that I think a lot of people really need to hear today. And I think there's a lot of people in the chat, and I don't know why I believe this, but I think that there's a lot of people in the chat that have broken relationships with God. And I think that's why God wants to talk about this today. So let's settle down. Let's, as Letitia James says, simmer down. Let's focus on mending relationships. And while we're praying, I want you to focus on not only the relationship that may need to be mended between you and God or you and Jesus, your Savior, but also I want you to focus on the people in your life that you would like to mend relationships with. Because we're going to manifest through the Holy Spirit, by the power of God, we're going to manifest His words into our understanding, into our doing, and we're going to mend some relationships today. So please remove your headphones and hats, maybe your helmets. Maybe you're working on a construction site and you're listening. Don't remove that helmet. Maybe if you're wearing a construction hat, don't remove that one. You might have to have that one on there for a reason. Lord and Heavenly Father. Lord and Heavenly Father, there's so many people in this chat right now, so many people that are going to watch this video today or listen to it on podcast that need to mend something with you, need to mend a part of their relationship with you in order to feel in communion with you again. The Holy Spirit works as our guilty conscience. It lets us know what's going on. The Holy Spirit is constantly talking to us, Lord. And you talk to us through the Holy Spirit. And a lot of times we ignore the Holy Spirit, or a lot of times we don't want to acknowledge what the Holy Spirit is trying to get us to stop and think of, because it's difficult to mend a relationship. And if it's difficult to mend a human relationship, we know how hard it is. And we pray that you know how hard it is for us in the flesh to mend a relationship with the one Creator who has more power than we could ever imagine. It's scary for a child to come to their parent and admit where they were wrong, say they were sorry, and mend a relationship. But that's what we are. We are children coming to you. And you tell us not to be afraid, and you tell us not to have fear, because you are not evil. You are good, and you are kind, and you are forgiving and merciful and graceful. So help us have the courage to come to you today and mend our relationship with you, so that we can then turn around and mend our relationships here on earth. We thank you for this message today. We thank you for the people in our minds right now and in our hearts right now that we're thinking about. But more importantly, we thank you for being able to come to the foot of the throne and mend our relationship with you first. Because there's no mending without with anyone without mending with you first. We thank you for this opportunity, Lord. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Rachel says, maybe there are relationships I don't want to mend. Do you have any relationship with God that you would like to mend? Is there any falling away that has happened lately, or any disappointment that you might have brought him that you would like to mend? There may not be any desire to mend a relationship here on earth. But I think when you mend a relationship here on earth that you don't want to mend, it also shows signs of forgiveness and moving on from that, even if you don't want to improve on the relationship. Again, just because you mend something doesn't mean you have to improve on it, but it's necessary if you want to improve on it as well. So, let's get to the verse of the day today. If you guys could open up your verses, please. And I'll read the beginning before we get to the verses, okay? Today we'll be talking about mending your relationship with God. First and foremost, with God. The Father in heaven who gave us everything, who continues to give us the very breath in our lungs. I know one thing, I don't want a broken relationship with him because that is where everything that I have comes from. I mean, not just my life. I'm talking about my ability to help other people, my strength, my courage, my wisdom. It all comes from him. So I don't want that to be broken in any way. And there are seven steps that I believe we can take to do that today. And we're going to go through each one of them right now, one by one. So if you've got your Bibles open, or if you've got your Bibles close to you, please open up to Mark 11:25. Forgive yourself and others. That's number one. DLG or DIG, dig. You might want to check your different folders because they were sent out this morning. So number one, forgive yourself and others. Mark 11:25. This is the first step to mending your relationship with God first. Okay? Forgive yourself and others. Let's read from Mark 11:25. Which says this, and when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. That's the first step. If you have a relationship with Father God, Jesus, or the Holy Spirit, one and the same, that you need to mend, that's the first step that you must take to meet God where he is in order for him to start the process of having a fixed relationship. Forgiving others. And again, if you don't forgive others in your life, then you do have a broken relationship with God. So if there is somebody in your life that you have not forgiven, that you do not want to mend a relationship with, then you have a broken relationship with God already. Because he will not forgive you unless you forgive others. It's a give and go. Bobby says, I have no problem forgiving others, but it's hard to forgive myself. You must. Says it right there. Forgive yourself and others. That's the first step. Trust me, I have that same problem, not being able to forgive myself. I'm very hard on myself. Dimple says, I don't really hold anything against anyone, but there are some relationships that will just never be the same. That is true. Relationships will never be the same as they once were. But being able to forgive that person and love that person at the same time doesn't mean that you have to improve on that relationship. It really only means that you're doing what God would do. And that's what he wants to see. That's right, L. Bevel. You can forgive someone and choose not to continue to have a relationship with them. You do. But you have to tell them about that forgiveness. Mending means you have to actually have a communication with that person. And if that person doesn't want to have a communication back with you, that's fine. That's fine. Trishy says, relationships come and go. No need to mend them all. That's not true. That's not true. At least on your end, you have to. That's what God says. It's not what I say. So be very careful about that. Because if you have relationships out there that are not mended, at least on your side, they don't have to be reciprocal. But if you have not done what you can do to mend that relationship by saying, I forgive you, I don't really want to improve on it, but I don't have any hatred towards you, I don't have any animosity towards you, and if I've done anything to offend you, I'm sorry. If you've done nothing to offend them, and it was their reason that they don't have it like you, you know, you still can say, I forgive you. And you're right, JV, not forgiving yourself is a sin. That's right. And you cannot have full forgiveness in a relationship with God unless you do. So that's number one. I know this is hard to hear. I really do. Trust me. I'm convicting myself while we do it. Okay. Number two. Let go of sin and the lukewarm lifestyle. And for that verse, we're going to back that up with letting go of sin and the lukewarm lifestyle. We're going to go to Revelation 3:16. So you can turn your Bibles to that now. Revelation 3:16. And this says, so because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. Think about that. All of us have lived at some point and maybe still find ourselves in a trend once in a while of becoming or living a lukewarm Christian lifestyle, being a fence rider, not having a stance, one or the other. And if you do have a stance and you are a hypocrite and do one or the other, that is what God is talking about here. Wanda says, yes, we forgive repeat offenders, but you cut off the relationship. 100%. Do not have an anchor. Mending a relationship and forgiving others does not mean you still have to drag them along with you. Or does that not mean that they have to drag you along with them? What it means is you are doing what you should do as a Christian by letting that person know, A, you're not mad at them anymore. B, you don't hate them. C, you forgive them. And maybe D, this is just my parting gift. I needed this for closure. I needed this in order to mend my relationship with God. Because without doing this, I can't mend my relationship with God. Because I am engaged in this, my relationship with God is broken. Isn't that a hard pill to swallow? Here you are loving God, praying to God, doing everything that you can do humanly possible. But wait a minute. If you're sitting on a fence, if you don't have a stance one way or another, and you don't forgive somebody for what they've done, and you don't turn from your sin in one way or another, then you do not have a mended relationship with God. Now, you can have a mended relationship with God and slip up in sin. That's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about a lifestyle. That means over and over again, a revolving door of you keep doing the same thing and you're expecting God and you to have this relationship, but you can't even do for somebody else what God would do for you. It's not easy. It's not easy. Do you forgive adults that diddled you when you were a child? How is that possible? Yes. Yeah, I know. The answer to how is it possible, the only answer that I have to that is God. To get that answer more satisfying, other than say, go to God, God will give you those answers. I can't give you those answers. But I do know that the ultimate answer is going to God. Yes, you have to. It's not easy. But do you think that that adult who diddled you or other children is affected by you not forgiving them? No, they'll be affected when you do forgive them. That's when they'll be affected. When you show them God. When you say, you know what? I'm not worthy. However, I am a child of God, and I'm going to show you what God showed me. Rumble for Liberty says, this can be so confusing. I can still love someone and want a relationship and forgive in advance, but unless there's repentance, the relationship cannot be repaired. We cannot forgive sin. Yeah, trying to understand what you meant there. Fireball just donated $50. Well, thank you. On behalf of myself and everybody in the chat, thank you for helping us here with a donation. Thank you so much. Really appreciate that. That's right. Forgiveness is between you and God. That means you're forgiving other people as well. So, do not be lukewarm. Do not say we should do things, but you won't do it. Do not say we should do something and you do the other thing. Do not live that lifestyle. Or else you will need to mend your relationship with God. It's hard. It's a hard pill to swallow. Trust me, I know. I really do. Okay. Moving on to the next one. Number three. Be diligent in your prayer life. And where we're going to go for this is 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. Again, number three, be diligent in your prayer life. And if you're just joining in, we're going through 7 steps that you need to take and you need to live by every single day in order to mend your relationship with God. And if any of these stand out to you as what you could do with somebody else on this earth, forgiveness, being not lukewarm, but being very stern with these people, letting go of sin. If you're not doing these things, then you do have a broken relationship with God. So what you need to do is mend your relationship with God by doing these things. And when you can show these things to other people, then you are showing these things to God. And when you're showing these things to God, you and him are in lockstep. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18. Rejoice always. Not sometimes. Not when things are easy. Always. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Not pray when your dinner comes. Not pray just when you go to bed at night. Now I lay me down to sleep. Not pray just when you get up in the morning. Pray continually. So rejoice always. always, and basically pray always. Lord, I'm about ready to do this podcast. Please be with me. Pray during the podcast. Pray afterwards. Thank you for giving me the ability to be able to do this show with all these great people. Pray before the next one. Pray before I eat. Pray for my children during the day. Pray for my wife during the day. Pray for my relationship with them during the day. Pray for the people in the chats and online who hate me and send me bad messages every day, all day. Pray for them. Pray before I go home that I'm going to make it home. Pray when I do get home, thank you for making it so that I made it home. Now, this isn't something that I do every second of every day, but I strive to. I try to. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And if you are not doing these things or taking these steps, then you have a broken relationship with God. Does that mean that God doesn't forgive you? No. Does that mean that you're not going to heaven? No. But if you have a broken relationship with God in any way, if there is a chink in the armor, what is that, Eli? You don't like me to say chink in the armor. What is it? Yeah. If there is a broken piece of that chain or a broken piece of that armor, the rest of the armor can be just fine. The rest of the chain might be strong, but that weak point is where you're going to experience a broken part of your relationship with God. And if you have that broken part, that is where the devil can work his way in. So you're not experiencing all the joy. You're not able to rejoice always, which is God's will for you. Again, if you have a broken relationship with God, it doesn't mean that God says, well, see you later, bye. It doesn't mean that you're not going to heaven. It doesn't mean that you're not going to be forgiven. It means that you're just going to have a harder time in life. It means that you are going to experience not all of God's will for you. And that's not what he wants. Moving on, step four. Make him a part of your daily routine. So you're going to go to Mark 1:35. Is it Mark 1:35? No, it's not Mark 1:35. Sorry. Yeah. Mark 1:35. Make him a part of your daily routine. Jesus prays in a solitary place. And it says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Nobody was with him. He didn't do it to show everybody else, look at me, I'm praying and you're not. Like the Jews did at that time, the Pharisees, I should say, and the Sadducees. He didn't do it for points or likes or rumbles or follows or shares. He did it because you got to make him part of your daily life. You've got to. You've got to start your day off with him. Again, what do we say? No Bible, no breakfast. No scripture, no salvation. Nothing else matters. Start with him, be with him, end with him. Wash, rinse, repeat. Make him a part of your daily life. Number five. What does that look like, making him a part of your daily life? Read the Bible. Read the Bible. Psalm 1:1-3. Psalm 1:1-3. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Reading the Bible, if you want to talk to your mom or your dad or your friend or your wife or husband, and you're not around them, and you want to talk to them with voice, what do? You call them. Hi, what are you doing? Doing all right? Yeah. You're having a conversation through the phone. If you want your relationships, your spouse relationship, your friend's relationship to flourish, you have what they call communication. You talk to each other. How else are you supposed to talk to God if you do not read His word to you? Now, pretty soon, through your journey with Jesus, you'll get to a point where you can literally talk to Him through the Holy Spirit. But guess what? You still need His word. Okay? What was bullet point five? Bullet point number five was read the Bible. Psalm 1, 1 through 3. Number six, get in a godly community. Now, where you're going to go for this one is Proverbs 13, 20. Proverbs 13, 20, getting in a godly community. Walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. Remember what we talked about yesterday? Garbage in, garbage out. We talked about you are what you eat. You become what you consume. You produce what you take in. That is why you lose so many friends on your journey with Jesus. Because you need to be in the company of other people who are like-minded in order for you to grow in whatever you are doing. Sooner or later, you don't cut that person off because they're committing sin and they won't stop. You're always there for that person. But you do not live or breathe with or walk with or work with or spend all of your time with those kind of people. You would benefit your own salvation and the people around you much more if you were around other God-fearing, like-minded people. That is why church is important. What we do here is what people go to church for. We have fellowship with each other. But sometimes this is not good enough. Sometimes we need to touch and hug, pray over each other, hold each other's hands on each other, and pray to God together. Where two or more are gathered, that's where God is. Now, that doesn't need to be physically. It can be spiritually all day long. But it's just not, you benefit from it. You flourish. Your Christianity flourishes more the more you're around other people. So, bullet point number six, the step that you must take is getting in a godly community to mend your relationship with God. And ladies and gentlemen, last but not least, go to Jeremiah 29, 13. Jeremiah 29, 13. And the last bullet point of today is seek God. Seek God. What does that mean? Well, by seeking God, that could mean a lot of different things. What does it mean to seek God? It means to search for Him. It means to search out His word. It means to be focused and want more of Him in your life. You knock, the door will be opened. You call, He will answer. But you have to meet Him where He is. That's seeking Him. You ever played hide and seek? What do you do as the seeker? You don't just stand there and twiddle your thumbs. When you play hide and seek, you go look for. So let's go seek God. Jeremiah 29:13. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. So there we go. Let's go through. We went through the verses. Now let's go through each step again. In order to mend your relationship with God, these are seven steps that you must take in order to begin. And these are seven steps that you must take every single day. Here we go. One more time. Number one, forgive yourself and others. Mandatory. Can't do anything else without that. Number two, let go of sin and your lukewarm lifestyle. Not your mess ups, not your screw ups, not falling off the path, your lifestyle. Number three, be diligent in your prayer life. Pray, pray, pray fervently all the time. Rejoice always. Number four, make him a part of your daily life. Well, if you're already praying, you already are, right? If you're already praying, you already are. Kind of go hand in hand, right? But it needs to be daily. Number five, read the Bible, because that's how he speaks to you in word. Now, he can speak to you through Holy Spirit, but you need to, if you're seeking him, you want it all. I want to hear you. I want to see you. When you watch Jeremy Harrell Live from America or Rise Up, you don't just want to listen to it. You want to see it too. You want all the forms of communication you could possibly get, right? Same here. Number six, get in a godly community. Be around other people who feel the same way. Be around other people who are going to educate you, help you. Be there to lean on and give you godly advice, not earthly advice, when you need it. And number seven, seek God. Hide and seek, baby. Go looking for him. You do these seven things that I just mentioned every day, your life cannot be bad. It is impossible. It is impossible for you to be joyless. It is impossible for you to have fear. It is impossible for you to be anxious, depressed. It is impossible for you to be alone, even if you have no one in the home. All those things are impossible. It's not even in the realm. If you do these seven things. So if you're not doing any of these seven things, or if you're not doing two of them, then you have a broken portion of your armor, or you have a chink in the chain that needs to be repaired, or else, never know, right? Not a good life, I know that. So, time to go to a video. I got this video, I was watching this guy, and what really caught me here was a question that somebody had in the chat yesterday. They said, how do you know that the Holy Spirit is speaking to you? Remember that question yesterday? Well, there's a lot of ways. And I guess to know that you're really in communion with the Holy Spirit and walking with the Holy Spirit, you have got to show through your works, through your daily life, that you are producing the nine fruits of the Spirit. And if you're producing the fruits of the Spirit, well, then you are walking with the Spirit. But what about if the people don't know? How is the Holy Spirit, how do I know for sure? Well, the Holy Spirit is constantly trying to speak with you. Constantly. If you seek it. If you desire it. If you want it. The Holy Spirit is constantly talking to you. It's how to listen. It's how to make sure that you are understanding and comprehending or even hearing what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. So I'd like to go to this video right now from this young man. Who I thought hit the nail on the head. So we'll watch some of this, and then we'll come back to my commentary. Let's go roll it.
The Holy Spirit will speak something, and then we ignore what the Holy Spirit has spoken in hopes that he'll change his mind. Micah chapter 2, verse 7 says this, O thou that art named the house of Jacob, is the Spirit of the Lord straitened? Are these his doings? Do not my words do good to him that walketh uprightly? Here we see this first question that's being asked. It's a rhetorical one. In other words, it's being asked, does the Holy Spirit change his mind? Can God be persuaded to do it your way? Can you negotiate with God? Can you bargain with God and get him to change direction? No, my friend, when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, he speaks a word out of his omniscience. He speaks a word out of that perfect divine wisdom so that when he speaks, it is instruction that you can count on. Why we would try to get him to change that, I don't know. Recognize, please, that when the Holy Spirit speaks, he speaks for your good, ultimately. Now, this doesn't mean that he's going to do things all the time exactly how you want them to be done. And this doesn't mean that he won't challenge us or even speak things to us that inconvenience us or change our plans or even can bring some heartache and sorrow, because sometimes sacrifice brings forth sorrow. But on the other side of that sacrifice, on the other side of that step of faith, on the other side of that step of obedience is the reward of having listened to God's voice. The Holy Spirit does not change his mind. The Holy Spirit will speak. Please hear me now. The Holy Spirit will speak and then not speak again until you've obeyed what he's already spoken. Now, I'm not saying that he'll stop trying to place you on the right path, because thank God that the Holy Spirit is more patient than we are stubborn. He's more faithful than we are sinful. So I'm not saying that the Holy Spirit abandons you and says, well, forget it, I spoke to them once, they didn't obey, so now I'm going to move on. No, of course the Holy Spirit will work with you and do what he can. He won't just leave you alone. He is going to do what he can in order to get your attention. What I do mean is that the Holy Spirit isn't going to change his instructions. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will speak to us with clarity, and then we ignore that, and we hope that it wasn't the Holy Spirit who was speaking. We hope, well, maybe that was my emotions, or maybe that was just my thought, or maybe I don't really need to do that, or maybe God changed his mind and now I can do it the way I want to do it. But it never quite works out that way. It
sure doesn't.
When the Holy Spirit speaks an instruction, you can't bargain with him.
Nope.
You can't negotiate. You can't get him to change his mind. And this is why consistency is one of the signs that the Holy Spirit is trying to get through to you. In other words, that message is consistent. There's that speaking to your spirit that you know is coming from the Holy Spirit.
Now, remember, ladies and gentlemen, we're just going to pause this real quick. Remember, we talked about poking and prodding. Remember, we talked about you can't get away from this thing every day. It's in your head. It feels like God is just pushing you and pushing you to do it, and you keep ignoring it. That's the Holy Spirit. He is using the Holy Spirit inside you to talk to you, and you're ignoring it. That's what he's talking about there.
But in the subconscious mind, it's not in the emotions, but deep within your spirit, you know that you know that you know that the Holy Spirit has given you an instruction. And you'll find that that instruction will stay with you consistently, even when you go through various different seasons, even when you allow a lot of time to pass between when God speaks and when you go to listen again. And this is why, by the way, many believers struggle with prayer, because they know that the moment they go back to the prayer room, they're going to hear the same instruction. And so wanting to avoid what they know God is going to tell them, they avoid the depths of prayer. They keep it superficial, praying for their loved ones, praying for blessing, praying for breakthrough, praying for maybe general direction, or maybe praying for favor in certain areas of their life. But they'll never allow themselves to fully go to that place of surrender. They'll avoid the deeper places of prayer simply because they know that that is where the Holy Spirit is dealing with them. And so they avoid the scripture, they avoid church, they avoid prayer. Or when they do hear a sermon, they try to negotiate in their own hearts and minds. Well, maybe God isn't speaking through that preacher. Perhaps it's just my emotion. Perhaps it's just this or just that. Maybe it's just the way I'm perceiving it. And so they avoid the deeper things of God because they know what God is requiring of them. They know that just on the other side of that depth of prayer is that instruction waiting for them where they last left it. Some believers go into the prayer room, receive a revelation about their life from God. They receive that instruction. And then, having been offended by that instruction or having been inconvenienced by that instruction, they leave the prayer room hoping that the next time they come back, that instruction will no longer be there waiting for them, but that this time maybe it'll be different. Or maybe God sees what I desire. Maybe God will reason with me. Or maybe God will change his mind. My friend, God does not change his mind. Is the Spirit of the Lord straightened? Can you persuade the Holy Ghost to change his instruction to you? The answer is no.
That's it right there, folks. The answer is no. It's not your way, but God's will that be done. We must conform to God's instruction, not the other way around, because we don't know better than God. We don't know more than God. We have not been in our tomorrow. We've only been in our yesterday. it is not possible for us to be able to say, well, wait a minute, Holy Spirit. Well, wait a minute, Jesus. Wait a minute, Father. I don't think you know the whole story here. Let me break it down for you. Let me tell you why I can't do that. Let me tell you why that's too scary. Let me tell you why that's going to hurt me. Kittenhead says, I'm bummed I couldn't get in the chat today. I couldn't get chat today. We see you. We see you just fine, Kittenhead. By the way, if you're experiencing any problems, send an email to support@rumble.com with explicit details of what you're watching on, what device you're watching it on, if you're watching on the app or if you're watching on TV, and what the problem is, and they'll get that stuff fixed up, okay? Forgiveness doesn't require an apology from other person, but really healing for both, but not necessary for you to forgive them. True, but imagine how much it benefits if you can. Imagine how much better that is for you and the Holy Spirit if you can have an apology from them or you apologize to them. Words are powerful. They have the ability to create and destroy. We should use our words, not just for building up others, but to build up ourselves as well. We got to be very careful about the words we use. And I use words that I shouldn't use all the time. I say things that I should not say to people all the time. And I don't really mean them sometimes. Sometimes there's a little truth to it. But you embellish it, you dramatize it to get your point across or to win an argument or something. That's what we got to be careful about. A lot. Not forgiving binds you. It sure does. It sure does. Here's another thing you guys might want to be very wary of. You know, the devil's greatest tool to get you is music. That's why we all crave it. I've been a musician my whole life. And I was quoted about 15 years ago saying, "Well, music is the greatest form of communication." And somebody said, "What do you mean?" I think it was the Boston Herald or something that was interviewing me. I said, "Well, music breaks down barriers because there's not a person on this planet that does not crave and love music. Doesn't matter what kind of music it is. It could be Arabian music, country music, rap music, rock music, worship music. Everybody craves music, and the devil knows that. The devil created music. The devil was built. Satan, Lucifer, was built literally musically. He was the angel that created music. Music belongs to him. Actually, ultimately, everything belongs to the Lord, but you know what I'm saying. So think about this. How much worship music are you listening that the devil wrote? What's that, Jeremy? Let me say that one more time. How much worship music do you think you or others have listened to or are listening to right now that the devil wrote? Ooh. What do you mean by that, Jeremy? How can the devil write worship music? Well, I'll tell you how right now. Ready for this? If there's worship music out there that doesn't very, very plainly, transparently, and clearly give worship to God in heaven, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the gospel, if it is leaving it vague like Lauren Daigle's music, that is not worship music, folks. That is not worship music. You got to be very careful about your worship music when you're worshiping. It can't be that lukewarm lifestyle worshiping like Lauren Daigle. Now, I think Lauren Daigle is an amazing, amazing artist. I think she is a Christian. But I think she also toes the line with her music and leaves it vague so that it can be in mainstream pop music or country music or something. That is not worship music. Worship music is literally coming right out of the Bible. It is reciting scripture. It is giving love to God and only God. It is talking about Jesus. It is talking about sin. It is talking about the Holy Spirit. It is clearly worship music. But the vague Christian music artists out there like Lecrae and Lauren Daigle, guarantee you that music was written by Lucifer himself. Now, I'm not saying these people are not Christian, and I'm not saying they are not worshipers, but if you make a worship song to appease all crowds just to get it into mainstream music, That is not worship music. And you've got to be very, very, very careful. If you say, I'm listening to worship music, I'm not saying you cannot listen to secular music or anything. I'm not saying that. But to know that it's worship, it better be worship music. You see what I'm saying? Or else the devil wrote it. He lives in the music industry, thrives off it, loves it. And if you don't think he's tainting worship music, just look at some of these mega churches. T. Mitchell said, dividing God's people is not the way. I love Lauren Daigle. If you're taking it that way, then you're taking it wrong. I didn't say not to listen to Lauren Daigle. Didn't say that at all. I said, if you're making worship music and you're calling it worship music and people are singing it as worship music and it is not saying who you worship, that was not written by God. That was not inspired by God. Very closely listen to what I'm saying. Because in no way am I saying don't listen to Lauren Daigle. Not saying that at all. Use discernment. Pray. And listen to words. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, that is going to do it for Rise Up. Thank you very much for being here today. I am very, very, very grateful for the conversation that we all have together. I'm very grateful for the learning and the back and forth. I'm very grateful for even the discussion when people don't agree. That's what we're all here to do. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for being here. Mike Crispy and Unafraid starts right now. We're going to take you out the same way we brought you in. And that is with some good worship music, where I know for sure they're worshiping Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit. God bless you guys. Have a great day. Thank you for being here today. See you later.